You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Shalom Aleichem may be the most beloved writer in Yiddish literature, but it's taken 100 years for the first publication of a translation of his novel Wandering Stars to be published. It's an epic love story set against the backdrop of the Yiddish theater that spans across 10 years and two continents. And joining me now is Aliza Shevrin, who translated the novel, playwright Tony Kushner, who wrote the foreword to the book, which is published by Viking. I'm very pleased to welcome them to the show. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
Isn't Shalom Aleichem best remembered as a writer of comic novels and plays? This isn't a comic novel.
Rarely are they just comic. They're always serial comic or tragicomic or bittersweet is the word. Sometimes it's more bitter than sweet, though.
Well, do you think that people would even be aware of his work outside of the a dwindling community if he hadn't been the creator of Tevye, and what led to Fiddler in the Roof?
No, unfortunately. And I know that Fiddler on the Roof is what brought him to the attention of the American and the world public. But they should have read some of the others, especially if they went to Hebrew school and studied him in Yiddish, as I did.
Well, he began writing in Hebrew, didn't he?
Yes, he did, but felt that he wanted to write the language of the little people, the Kleine Menschelach, to sound like them. And most of the Yiddish writers also wrote in Hebrew, but they realized that their native tongue, their soul, their mother tongue, the Mama Lushan, was Yiddish.
Not Russian, even though he grew up in the Ukraine.
Absolutely. And interestingly, his family spoke only Russian, not Yiddish.
I mean, I have a feeling that just to disagree a little bit, I have a feeling that the work is so brilliant, the novels and stories are so extraordinary that as long as there are really amazing translations around, and Alicia's translation is really astonishing, that Aleichem would be read even without Fiddler having made him much more famous than ordinarily a writer is difficult and challenging. As he is, might have been.
Well, so how do you explain this novel taking 100 years to be translated? Is this a minor work? Is that the reason? Because, Tony, you do say this is a novel with flaws.
Well, I say that it's a novel with flaws, but I also say that I think that the flaws make it even more perfectly an expression of the world that he's describing, the world of theater, and specifically the world of Yiddish theater, and also the world of the diaspora at the turn of the century, and that the things that seem initially to be flaws are actually easily read as a kind of modernist literary practice that makes the novel, for me at any rate, enormously exciting.
So. Well, Aliza, this is the eighth work of his that you have translated.
Ninth.
Okay. Then. So had the others been translated previously? Or
no.
There's an awful lot of Shalom Aleichem that has never been translated?
That's right.
Despite his fame?
Absolutely. There are a couple that I translated that I always felt, obviously, should have been read by many people. Actually, one called Marienbad, I was positive would make a wonderful musical comedy, and it sold quite a few books, as did a couple of collections of children's stories. But this, perhaps it wasn't translated because it's long. In the original, it's about 700 pages. It was serialized, so like most serials, it's, you know, you pick up at the last chapter and you recap what's happening, so it's a bit repetitive. But it should have been, I would think, a publicly, greatly read book.
And I mean, again, I would say that, you know, like Dickens and other great novelists.
A sloppy novelist.
Sloppy and You say repetitive. I say sort of interestingly circulatory, or sort of traveling like stars do in retrograde motion. So you go forward and then you go backward a little bit, and you sometimes are being told the story by the narrator, who has a lot of opinions about the story. Sometimes you're being told the story through epistolary, through the exchanges of letters, and it may just be an accident of its publication in a series of newspaper articles, or it may be something that the genius of Alechem consciously or unconsciously intended, but it has a very shambolic, but I think enormously effective shape. I mean, there's always been this feeling that he was great as a short story writer and couldn't really write novels or didn't, and I think that may be one reason why.
But he was writing this as a serialized novel, and the way that novels had been published in Europe 50 years before.
Right, and so what I was going to say is that I think that there may have been a disinclination to publish the novels of Alechem, because people tend to sort of say, well, if you really want to read the great stuff, read the stories of Tevier or some of the other short story collections. And I think that it does a disservice to him. I think it's a great read and an incredibly fast read. It's a lot of fun.
Well, Elisa, you have translated probably the three most famous of the Yiddish writers.
Yes, indeed.
Shalom Aleichem, Eyal Peretz, and I.B. Singer. Are there any other Yiddish writers who are still being read today?
Yes. Shalom Asch is being read. There are quite a few others, and I'm reading a Yiddish writer that nobody has ever heard of, so much so that I can't remember his name. Isn't that embarrassing? But in Ann Arbor, we have a reading group, a Yiddish reading group, part of the Judaic Studies program.
A dwindling number of people capable of doing that.
That's right, but these are professors of Yiddish, so they know it. And they brought this novel in for the group to read, and I'm loving it.
Is it somebody who wrote before Aleichem? Because
no, after.
Because it seems to me all the famous writers came after Shalom Aleichem.
That's right.
Was there any kind of a Yiddish? Was there any kind of a Yiddish literary tradition that he came into, or was he kind of stumbling into this all by himself?
No, there was a great tradition of Yiddish writers, and he was the one who really made them public or read by others, because they were writing in Yiddish instead of Hebrew, and he had this publication, and he paid them to write in Yiddish. It was called the Yiddish Volksstimme or something like that.
And this is in Russia?
In Russia, yes.
This is before he came to the United States.
Oh, yes, way before. And that sort of started Yiddish as a popular form of literature, read by all the Jews. And he became certainly the most beloved of Yiddish writers till the day he died. You know, at his funeral, 100,000 people came.
Well, that was in New York.
That was in New York.
Was he remembered as fondly in Europe?
Because
Europe had gone through all sorts of at that point, Russia was still anti-Semitism was still rife in Russia.
Yes, but still, and probably even now, he is known in all over the world. I get requests from Japan to send copies in the original for them to translate.
What is the Haskalah?
Haskalah.
Well, it's a movement. I mean, you'll correct me if I get any of this wrong, but it's a movement that begins in the 18th century and then gathers steam in the 19th century. It's the Jewish Enlightenment. It's the sort of post-Napoleonic, post-French Revolution transformation of Jewish society, in part made possible by political emancipation of Jewish populations in Western Europe.
So he comes into this.
Well, he's certainly in many ways influenced by it and a product of it. I mean, there are things that are depicted in... I mean, the other great Yiddish writer that we didn't mention is S.Y. Anskey, the author of the Dybbuk. And I think that, you know, there are things that are being depicted in these books and things that are being said that would have been absolutely impossible to say before a sort of a liberalization and an opening up of Jewish thought had occurred.
In this case, Wandering Stars is set against the backdrop of Yiddish theater, and he wrote plays. Did he write them in Europe, or did he only write them when he came here?
In Europe. in Europe, and he came to New York hoping and succeeding in having them produced on the Yiddish stage. But they were not successful for the same reason that some plays were not successful in general, that there were stars who took over and rewrote it so that they had the largest parts, people like Maurice Schwartz and many others.
The great Second Avenue
right.
Theater row that featured so much Yiddish theater at that time. So he came into something yeah. where they didn't respect the text. Tony, would you allow a star to do that yeah. to one of your plays?
it's actually, in a certain ways, more something that you experience in film than in theater. Playwrights worked very hard after, and a lot of them were people who had graduated in a way or had been born in the Yiddish theater. Playwrights worked very hard to sort of establish proprietary ownership of the material and sort of stop that. But film actually is... star-driven in the way that Yiddish theater was very much mm-hmm. so.
And by the way, the hero almost became one of these stars who might, if he had been a little bit more aggressive, taken over the role.
The hero of the novel, of yes, Wandering Star.
Does this novel deal with some of the problems he faced as a playwright?
Oh, of course.
So there's a semi-autobiographical sure. side to this.
Yeah, well, it's a stunning portrait of the Yiddish theater, not only in America, but it actually arrives in America eventually, but mm-hmm. it begins in Eastern Europe, in Russia, and travels to Vienna and Central Europe, and then to London, so you get a portrait of the Yiddish theater throughout the diaspora, and also while you're getting that, you're also seeing the world of the diaspora, because it's not just about the theater, it's about the theater as it impacts originally this little shtetl in the middle of, Belarus.
Bessarabia,
right, and, this little tiny town that's never seen theater before that's mm-hmm. completely unhinged by the arrival of this Yiddish theater.
So this is also taking place at a time when anti-Semitism is a major factor.
Absolutely.
And Shalom Aleichem leaves Russia because of the pogroms, doesn't he?
He leaves because of the Russo-Japanese War and the ensuing pogroms in 1905. He leaves Russia, but before he comes to the United States, he goes to Italy, he goes to Switzerland, and can't find a niche where he feels comfortable. So New York beckons. He tries newspapers. He tries the theater. Nothing really works. He goes back and forth, winds up in New York, where he eventually dies.
And in the novel, Liebel and Riesel, the main characters, come from very different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that is based on his own life, where he yep. and his wife Olga were quite different. I just one more thing, yes. because we are running out of time. How difficult is it to translate Yiddish into English, especially somebody like Shalom Aleichem, where humor is so important? I say that because I used to read Shalom Aleichem novels to my mother in Yiddish without understanding a word, and she would laugh her head off, and I'd say, well, what did I say? And she'd say, it's too hard to translate.
Exactly true. I was going to say, Tony, in your introduction, you say that it's hysterically funny. And, after doing it over and over, I'm thinking, really? It was funny? And it's like hearing a joke for the fifth time. It doesn't sound funny. And yet this last weekend, we had a nice book party where my husband translates the poems, all the poems of Shalom Aleichem, because only a poet can translate poetry. But we read a little section of it where two bitter enemies get together and really give it to each other, and we just read it, and the people at this party were howling, and we had to stop. And
My favorite moment is when one character says to another, go bake bagels in hell.
Yeah.
Which, that's...
Oh, many of them. It is difficult.
And isn't Yiddish different in the different places it was spoken? There's Polish Yiddish, Russian
yes,
Yiddish, German Yiddish, American Yiddish.
The way English is different, British English, Australian, totally different, and it's almost impossible. And especially in this book, where the characters in New York become Americanized, and everything is all right, and in Tevye and in Motel, in Yiddish, it's mir kriegen a job. How do you translate that? Can only be, we got a job. You lose it. There's no way of getting that.
making people understand that he was using the English word, and that's important.
Exactly. That's right. He's now a Yankee.
Especially in a language that really exists by incorporating all sorts of other, you know, Hebrew and German and Russian and English. And, and it's the incorporative capacity of Yiddish that makes it so extraordinary.
Exactly. Alas, we couldn't have Sholem Aleichem here as a guest to talk about his novel Wandering Stars, which is published by Viking. But my great thanks to its translator, the first edition of it in English in 100 years, Aliza Sheffrin, also Tony Kushner, who wrote the foreword. It's been a great pleasure having you on our show today.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Shanem dank.
Shanem dank.